No, thank you for having me today. I reached out to Tim and I just said I'd love to be able to come and speak, you know, if I'm here on a weekend and make it happen. A year later, here I am to visit with him and his family and to see the great things that are happening here at New City. I will tell you that every group that I speak to, God seems to speak to as well. The Holy Spirit seems to come upon us and enter the room and maybe teach us something. And today, I want to do that. But before I get into God's Word, I thought it would be really, really cool if I took you guys on a tour of our college. We have an aerial kind of a tour. You probably don't know a lot about us, but we're owned by the Covenant Church up in Alaska. And we have been there since 2001. So it might be just cool to send you on a video update of the college that in part, New City kind of owns because you're part of the Covenant Church. Here we go. I'm going to narrate it for you as it comes on. So yeah, we opened in 2001 with just one building on 10 acres. And today, we have 27 different building projects that we've done on 30 acres. And as Dave Ramsey would say, we're debt free! And so everything you see here, we have built with volunteer labor of men and women who come up each summer. We had 220 last summer. And if you come up for the summer and help us and build these buildings, you only have to work during daylight hours. This is the main building that we started with, our admin building. It was a big old house, 8,400 square foot home. We bought it for $350,000 on those 10 acres. What a steal. I'm sure to Dinah you could buy a 10 acre home for $30,000 as well, right? These kids, students, we've had over 850 students come through our doors since we began ACC. Pretty exciting. They come from mostly Alaska. They're mostly all Alaska Native Indigenous students, about 95%. If you come up and visit us, you stay in one of our residence halls and our dining halls there in the middle as well. We've had this amazing miracle story. I have time for today. We've had three apartment buildings adjacent to our campus that have been built and then are been given to us through donation. It's been really, really cool. This gymnasium is a miracle in itself, another long story, but this is our big project. This next summer, we're hoping to finish it, and our students love basketball. This is a proposed chapel that's come around the corner. You'll hear a little story about that at the end of my message today, about needing all these years a place for our students to come and to have a place of worship dedicated to them. That'll go on the front end of the gymnasium, actually, which is pretty awesome. This athletic center is actually going to have a running track around it and a huge workout area. A bunch of brand new equipment's been donated. But this is our campus, our master plan. And boy, when you're done with that gymnasium and chapel, our master plan is filled for 125 students to be at ACC. Pre-COVID, we were at 102 going in that direction, and COVID things have changed since then. We're praying the Lord to turn that around. Another part of our campus is our counseling center. My wife's executive director of an amazing counseling center that reaches all of our students with professional Christian counseling. So I'm pretty thrilled to say that 30 acres and all those buildings really are a miracle story in itself. In fact, I've been writing a story about that. There'll be a book coming out. It'll be pretty cool to read all the miracles that have got us to this place today. So this is your college. And I encourage any of you that might be thinking about, hey, I know how to swing a hammer. I know how to help out. Come up and Tim can give you information on that. Pretty awesome place to visit in the summertime. Not so great in January. Just to let you know. Well, I thought I'd start off by saying it's really awesome that Tim invited me, but you know, he probably shouldn't have, because when I speak, sometimes I say things that I don't mean to say, or I make like pretty big errors. One of those times I was in Mexico. I was a short-term missionary with the Covenant Church in Mexico, and I remember being in front of a congregation of mainly young people, and I was talking about giving our spiritual gifts over to God, and the word in Spanish is dones. But I kept saying, don't us. And I didn't realize I'd making the mistake. And like Tim is laughing, everybody in the congregation was laughing at me every time I said we have to give our spiritual gifts over to God, because I was using the word donuts, which means donuts. So I kept on saying we have to give our spiritual donuts over to God. And so they were laughing and giggling. I finally stopped myself and I said, you know what? I must be saying something wrong. And I said, what am I saying? And they said, Keith, we don't know how to give our spiritual donuts over to God. And I said, oh, I figured out. And I was so embarrassed. And I was so embarrassed that I used the word to say I'm embarrassed. And the word is embarazada, E-M-B-A-R-A-S-A-D-A. And I said, oh, híjole, estoy muy, muy embarazada. And they just erupted laughing because I didn't know the word embarazada actually means pregnant. Yeah, I just told the whole congregation I was pregnant. So I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth today. But I have to ask ourselves this question today. Is God pursuing you? Is God pursuing you? We're going to go to Jonah chapter 1 today to see about this amazing story about this prophet who's being chased after, being pursued. Jonah, if you want to open your phones with me, please, to Jonah chapter 1. It's right between Genesis and Revelation. You can't miss it. Jonah chapter 1. I know you've heard about it in Sunday school. I know it's been a story that you've read about in your scripture. Hopefully it'll take a new slant for you today as we together find this little dinky book in the middle and the back end, I should say, of the Old Testament. Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Here's the command form here. The word is go. So Jonah, go to the great city of what church? Nineveh, and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And scripture says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from who, church? The Lord. So he's running away from God. We know this part of the story pretty clear to everybody. Why? Here's Jonah, a prophet of God. God's very clear in the command here in the Hebrew. Go to this city. He says, absolutely no way. Runs in the opposite direction. Verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And all the sailors were afraid. I would be too. And each cried out to his own God. Is that a capital G or a small g? It's a small g. Why? Because it isn't God Jehovah he's crying out to. It's the God of, I don't know, the rutabaga. He's crying out, all crying out to some gods here. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. And scripture says, but Jonah had gone down below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. And the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up a call on your God, small g. Maybe he will take notice of us that we will not perish. And the sailors said to each other, this is really critical. Come, let us cast lots. These little sticks, you know. Pick a stick out of the hand. Let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. And they cast lots. And the lot fell on who, church? Jonah. Pick the short stick. Never pick the short stick. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country and from what people are you? And I can almost see Jonah stand erect and very serious and say these words, I am a Hebrew. And I worship the Lord, capital L, the God, capital G of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, funny question, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them so. And the sea was getting rougher and rougher, and they said to him, what should we do to you to make this sea calm down for all of us? And Jonah said, just pick me up and throw him into the sea. And it will become calm, for I know it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, church, capital L or small L? Yeah, capital L. These people have been watching Jonah and this whole story unfold, and all of a sudden, they're now crying out to Jehovah God, please, Jehovah, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. They knew he was innocent. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased. And they took Jonah and they threw him overboard. And the raging sea grew calm. Verse 16, at this the men greatly feared the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Their lives were radically changed. And that famous verse here, now the Lord provided a huge halibut to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jesus refers to that later on, also in the New Testament. So what's going on here? Here's Jonah, this prophet of God, being told by God, go. Jonah says, I don't want to go. I want to go in the opposite direction, run away. He would. It's a natural thing to do because you know what? Nineveh is a great, huge military threat to the people of Israel. In fact, in Nahum, the book of Nahum, you'll see examples of how they used to torture and kill Israelites. People of Nineveh are the arch enemies of God's people. Why would he want to go and tell them about God? Doesn't make any sense. He did just the opposite of what he was told to do. It'd almost be like this. You guys remember Osama bin Laden? Enemy of the United States. For us to go to him, be called to go to him and give him a big hug and say, I love you, man. That's about what Jonah's being asked to do. I wouldn't do it. And he failed the test and ran away from God, and this big fish comes along. And I want to tell you that God has been pursuing prophets like Jonah and prophets of today to send them out to places that are unloved and even people that hate us to bring them the Word of God. My second P is this: God also always pursues His purposes. Jonah didn't want to go, but I have to ask you this. Has anybody ever been able to thwart God's purposes? If God has a plan to fulfill, a project to finish, He just gets it done. I never know a time when God in the Bible has said, you know what, you're right, I'm wrong, have it your way, I'm out of here. He doesn't do that. God always finishes what He begins. So if God does breathe His will into being, there's no king, there's no pope, there's no president, Democrat or Republican, that can stop God from pursuing what His good and perfect will is. Because you guys know this, that it isn't He who sits in the great white house that's calling the shots, but He who sits in the great white what? Throne. He's calling the shots. God always wins. God pursues His purposes. We cannot run away from God's purposes. And in verse 17 again, we read that he lost. Well, what happened? Chapter 2. Now he's stuck in this fish. 3 days, 3 nights. What happens? He gets into the belly, and all of chapter 2 is kind of a prayer. And I'll just sum it up for you really quick, just like this.
God, I'm an idiot. What was I thinking? Oh man, does it stink in here? This is gross. This is horrible, God. I know, just get me out of here. Just get me out of here, and I'll do your will in your way.
And we see in chapter 2, in the verse, in the scripture there, last verse, it says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah unto the dry land. Can you believe it that the Bible uses the word vomit? Huh? King James, and he spewed Jonah onto the shore. High school kids would say, puked him out, man. Here he is, out on the shore, alive, prayer answered. You know, I had a Wycliffe missionary come up to me once in Turlock, California, and say, Keith, he said, I like the word barf instead of vomit. And he's a guy who uses words. He said, in fact, he said, I wrote a story about the story of Jonah using the word barf. And I said, well, what is it? And he says, it's a poem. Here it is. Listen to this. First the boat, then the belly, then the barf, then the beach. And God said to Jonah, preach, preach, preach. So there it is, the story of Jonah using barf. We go to chapter 3. Something remarkable happens in Jonah's life. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the Lord... the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Isn't it awesome that God is a God of second chances? He gets a second shot at this whole thing. Look at the same words again from chapter 1. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give to you. It's chapter 1, chapter 3, almost identical. Jonah, you're going to go do this. I'm going to give you a second chance to do this. You need to go. And we see in verse 3, this time Jonah got smart here, obeyed the word of the Lord, and went down to Nineveh. And verse 5, the Ninevites believed God, and they declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. We even see that the king himself put on sackcloth and sat down in ashes. Everybody in Nineveh came to know the Lord. That's amazing, because Nineveh is today modern-day Iraq. And not a lot of people have a great relationship with that nation even today. But you can't escape God's purposes. God always wins. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. You can try to run, but God always wins. You're trying to go south, He tells you to go north. You don't have a choice here. You can't escape God's purposes. Even when Jesus Himself was at the last night before He was crucified, Lord, take this cup from me. And God says, no. Brothers and sisters, you know when you're being called to go north and you want to run south. You know that God gets our attention in a lot of amazing ways when He calls us, when He's pursuing us to do something. And we have a choice to make, every one of us, to run away or to answer God's will for our lives if He's after us. Because God doesn't just pursue prophets and purposes. He also, guess where? Ecuador. What are you talking about? They said, yeah, we'd like you to come down and visit Quito and check out maybe planting a college for us down there. So I did. I went down. Obviously, I speak Spanish, right? I mean, clearly, and it would be great. I love the food, love the people. You know Ecuador? You know the sun goes up and down the same time every day in Quito, Ecuador? You know it's 78 degrees year-round almost every day in Quito, Ecuador? I love Hispanic food. Debbie and I both, we're both actually fluent in Spanish. This is God's will for our life. And so I did. I went down there a couple of times. Things were going great. And all of a sudden, the door shut. Nope. Ecuador's not going to happen. Well, that's okay, God. I'm happy in my home in Arvada. I've got a 3-car house, got 2 Toyotas in the garage, got 3 little kids, got an awesome big 8-foot hot tub in my backyard, got a 3-legged dog named Lucky. You know, I have everything that would be great and keep me comfortable. Hey, Keith, what about coming up to Alaska, out to Unalakleet, Bible camp there, speak to our high school kids, summer of 2000? And I said, that'd be great. I brought a whole bunch of students up with me for a mission trip and showed up at Bible camp. 83 young Native kids. And God began to speak, began to show miracles. The third day or so that I'm there, a pastor of our covenant church comes up to me, Rick, and he says, Keith, I think God's calling you to Alaska. I said, what? He said, yeah, I believe that God sometimes tells me to tell people things. We'd call it word of prophecy, I don't know, discernment a bit. I just got to tell you, man, I think God's calling you to come up to Alaska. Whoa, that's never happened before. And I stuck that in my heart. Oops, my heart. A couple days later, we're on a muskox hunt. You know what a muskox looks like? It is a big, hairy, woolly, mammothy kind of a thing. We're out in the hunt, and youth pastor of the Hooper Bay Covenant Church, Marcus, comes up to me and says, Keith, he said, I just got to tell you, I had a dream last night, and in that dream, we were talking about you being involved up here in Alaska at a Bible college. Whoa, that's never happened before. I said, did you see any palm trees in your dream? Like Hawaii Christian College sounds really, really nice. I put that in my heart. Friday night, my wife Debbie actually flew up. She was going to spend some vacation time with me at the end of camp and then down in Anchorage and Soldotna, the area where we live today. And I told her, honey, she's from California, honey, you won't believe what's going on. What? God might be calling us to Alaska. Whoa. I said, Lord, 3 is a great number, though. That's 1, 2. Maybe, Lord, 1 more. Show me if this is your will and your way for us. Well, 2 weeks later, I got a phone call that I didn't expect. And it wasn't the way that I was going to expect it to get the third kind of answered our prayer. The Friday night that we'd been in Unalakleet, our last night at camp, we went to have dinner at a covenant missionary's home where they fly. It's mission airplanes with their missionary aviation. I never met Don, but my heart was broken for his family, his 3 little kids. His wife was actually pregnant with their 4th baby when the Lord took him, and he never knew that. And we wept. That's really strange for a person you've never met before, but our hearts. We're mourning with those who mourn and weeping with those who weep, and we just felt the call of God so deeply to Alaska. Here's the good news. We were feeling this call. The bad news was, nobody had ever talked to us about moving to Alaska. But that summer of 2000, we had a guest preacher, president of the Covenant Church of Congo, good friend of mine from seminary days. And when he got done preaching, I'm sitting in the front pew of the church as a youth pastor, and I began to weep just knowing that God was calling us out. We're not going to be in Arvada any longer, Lord. I get a call from the Covenant Churches of Alaska saying, we've been wanting to start a Bible college. I know that Ecuador didn't work out for you. Would it be a chance that you'd think about planting a college in Alaska? Same kind of a thing, but for Alaska Native Indigenous kids. And I said, well, what, you know, how much does it pay? Nothing. We don't have any money to do it. How many students do you have? Oh, we don't have any students. How many buildings do you have? Like you rent something? No, we don't have any buildings. Oh, how many staff do you have to come and work with me? Nobody. I said, so you're asking me to apply to be the president of nothing? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, let's go through the process. Because I knew that God had already tapped my shoulder 3 times. And so it was in that later that summer of 2000 that I was flying up to Alaska for an interview to become the president of something that doesn't exist. And I met with one of my high school kids, a young man I've been discipling named Tyler, and I said, Tyler, I'm going up to Alaska to apply for this position. And he said, man, I would love for you to do that. Quit being my youth pastor. That'd be sweet. And he said, in fact, out of my college fund, I want to give you your first gift, $2,000, to help support you. And Debbie, as you consider raising support for this mission position. I met with a man who'd been discipling me Friday, Chris, and I told him what was going on. And Chris said, you know what, Keith, I'm super excited about this possibility. I was his daughter's youth pastor, and he said, man, if you quit being our youth pastor, I got $5,000 that'll commit to your salary to get you up there. I'm on the way to the airport, cell phone rings. It's his mother-in-law who's calling me saying, I just heard you're going to Alaska. I said, no one's supposed to know. What's going on? She said, we are so excited. We want to give you $5,000 toward your support if you'll go. I hadn't even gotten on the plane yet to go to a place that I hadn't been, to meet with people I didn't know, to interview for a position that didn't exist. And there's already $12,000 in our support. Now, what do you do with that? I didn't even ask for it. God pursues people, common people like you and like me. And so it was a unanimous call to plant Alaska Christian College. I thought I was going south. God said, no, you're going north. I didn't want to be swallowed by a big halibut, so I answered God's call. So my point is this. God doesn't just pursue prophets and always his purposes that are always done, but also he pursues people like you and like me for incredible adventures. And since 2001, we've been serving in Soldotna, Alaska, building a two-year accredited Christian college for all these Native young kids that come to us. Well, I got to give you one more P, and it's kind of a cool one. When God calls us towards some great adventure, he also provides. He also provides. So here is this house that we found in Soldotna, Alaska. 10.5 wooded acres, $350,000, amazing deal. Indoor swimming pool even, amazing deal. We didn't have any money. Again, we started the college with nothing. Then our denomination, the Covenant Church, wouldn't give us a loan. So we didn't have really any loan or any money. But the guy that owned the house was a believer. And he said, Keith, he said, I'll pick up the mortgage for you if you pay me 8% a month. He wasn't that good of a believer. 8%, you know, interest a year. And also, you need to get like $100 to pay for like the transfer paperwork. And I said, I know I can do that. And I need $25,000 down. Whoa. I've never seen that kind of money before. I'm doing fundraisers, you know, to sell popcorn and stuff to send kids to camp. I got no idea how to find $25,000. One of my friends pastored First Covenant Church of Portland, Oregon, John Wenrick, who was the prior president, Tim's old boss at our denominational office. I called John up and I said, John, want to start this college? And we got all these great things, but we don't have any money. We don't have any. Can I come at your church and just preach about it on Sunday and give people the vision? I didn't have any videos. I didn't have any brochures. I didn't have any testimonies or stories of students. He said, yeah, come on over. So I flew over to Oregon from Colorado, stood up there, preached my heart out, got done. The church mission board invited me out to church afterwards for a buffet. And I said, guys, do you happen to have $25,000? I just thought, I'm just going to ask the mission board. They said, we'll get back to you. You know what that means usually? No. The answer is no, we don't. We'll get back to you. 2 weeks later, Pastor John calls me on the phone. He says, Keith, you won't believe this. There's $25,000 in the mail right now to buy Alaska Christian College. I said, what? What in the world happened? I'm not that great of a preacher. He said, no. He said, you didn't know this when you were here. But we had just sold a little Bible camp that our church had owned for a lot of years. We had some money, and we wanted to do some significant investment with that money for the kingdom. And our church voted to buy you a college. I said, that is amazing. Praise God. Well, when somebody gives you $25,000, you know what you do? You go back and say thank you. So a year later, I went back to say thank you, and I preached again, and I had pictures, and I had video, and I had student testimonies, and I laid all eyes, thanked them. And after church, this little old lady walks up to me. She must have at least been, I don't know, 60 years old. And she walks up to me. There goes the offering, I guess. And she says, you don't know the rest of the story. And I said, who are you, Paul Harvey? She said, no, you don't know the rest of the story. When you were here and you spoke a year ago, and this whole thing about the camp sale, I'm the one that stood up. Esther Halleck is her name. She's with the Lord now. Esther Halleck, she stood up and she said, everybody in the church, you need to hear this. When I was born in this church, like in the early 1900s, your family were part of the starters of the church. Our first pastor that planted our church, most people have forgotten, was the first covenant missionary to Alaska. And she remembered. And she said, in his memory, we need to buy this college. And I thanked Esther. If you go to Unalakleet, Alaska today, Tim, you been to Unalakleet? Yeah. Unalakleet, Alaska, way out in far western bush, Alaska. Can only get there by air. Amazing village, about 800 people. You get off the plane, the cemetery's right there next to the airport. That might not be a good sign for the airport, by the way, but if you look there, there is an amazing in the middle century, an amazing like monument with a fence all the way around it. You're like, ooh, it must be the chief of the village or, you know, somebody really, really important. And you look at it, you realize, you know who it is? It's the first covenant missionary to Unalakleet. And I just want to tell you what's on his inscription. It's pretty amazing. Axel E. Carlson, born Sweden, 1865, died Unalakleet, 1915. And it says this. When Axel came to our village of Unalakleet, there were no Christians. But when he left us, there were no pagans. Think about that legacy. And so God provides. And we have today, you know, 23 years later, we're debt-free. 850 students. I mean, God has been such a providing God. When he calls you, when he pursues you, when he taps you on the shoulder, when he burns within your heart, he also provides. And the final story that I just want to share is in 2007, there was a lady who came up to Alaska Christian College, and she served for 7 weeks, actually lived in the girls' dorms, and was just a missionary short-term with us. Actually, she's from Minnesota. And she loved it. And only mission trip she ever did. 2 years ago, she'd been ailing in health for a while, and 2 years ago, she passed away. And Debbie and I decided we wanted to fly out to Minnesota to come to the memorial service for her. And we showed up. The family didn't know we were coming. It was a great reunion and hanging out. After the service, we got invited over to the family home, and we're sitting around there, and the family asked me the question, is there a way that you could give us like a top 10 list of things that ACC needs? We might want to do a gift in honor of Mom, because this is where she served as a missionary. And I said, sure, and I gave them a list of everything from the low to the higher, and they came in and said to me, we want to build a chapel at Alaska Christian College in honor of Mom. Now, we can't do the whole amount, but we're going to do a 50% of the cost of that. And I'm just blown away. Wow, we're going to finally have a chapel on our campus, at least started. And then they asked me a question I couldn't answer. Can we name the chapel after Mom? And I said, I don't know if we can. We don't have a policy about that. Tim's our board chair, but he wasn't the chair quite yet. So he wasn't a part of this decision. But they asked me the question, of course, well, what's her name? And I said, Frida. No, it's not. It wasn't Frida. You know what? Really, really cool. Her name is Gloria. The Gloria Chapel at Alaska Christian College. And it starts this spring. We're going to start building it. God provided. These two little old ladies from Covenant Village in Colorado met with me 10 years ago and said, Keith, we want to build a chapel at Alaska Christian College when we die. And these two ladies had been roommates in Bible school in the 1940s together, and they wanted to see us get a chapel. The second one just passed away last May. And we got news from Covenant Trust Company that there's a gift coming to us. But it says you must either build a chapel, and if you don't, then the money's going to go to Wycliffe Bible Translators. I love Wycliffe Bible Translators, but we're not going to let that money get away from us. So the check is coming for $300,000. $800,000 toward $1 million chapel for us. God provides. So I know many of us today, as we come to church today, didn't know what we were going to hear, what we were expecting. But I wonder today if there's an opportunity, there's a chance maybe that God is calling you to go somewhere, to do something. Right here in this church, there's always need, of course, in your community, Edina. There's always need. Is it possible that God has been pursuing you for some great purpose in your life, and an adventure that you just haven't been able to respond to? Are you trying to head south like I was instead of heading north? Some of us, you know, we play games with God. We come to church every Sunday, put the face on, but we're not really serious about relating to God, and he's been pursuing you and pursuing you. He's been knocking on your door, and you're just running away. Maybe today's the day you want to say, yes, Lord, I want to stop running away from this situation in my life, from this deep sin in my life that I just can't seem to get control. Lord, I want to stop, and I want to surrender my life to you. Because that's what Jonah had to do. He had to surrender his life to be able to do what God wanted him to do. Maybe God is calling you to be a student, maybe some time to Alaska Christian College or come up on a work team. The guy I once heard named Tony Campolo, he used to say, you know that song in church that we sing, I surrender all, I surrender all, I surrender. You know that song? He says, a lot of us sing that with our head, but a lot of us are really just singing, I surrender one-tenth, I surrender one-tenth. I wonder today if you'd bow with me and pray as we consider surrendering all. If God is pursuing you for something, to say, yeah, Lord, the first time, not the second time like Jonah. Let's pray together. Yeah, Lord, when I was 16 years old, you entered my life in an amazing, incredible way, radically changing who I was. And Lord, that pursuit of me now has led me to walk with you for all these 40-some years. And Lord, I don't know if there's somebody in the congregation that is just being pursued by you for some incredible adventure or challenge or leaving something alone that's been chasing them, Lord, that isn't healthy for them. I don't know how the Holy Spirit of God works, but I know, Lord, that you are here in the sanctuary now, and Lord, if you are speaking to someone, make it super clear like it was to Jonah, and may they do it the first time, not the second time. So, Lord, we surrender our lives to you, walking with you in faith that you're going to do amazing things and even provide in the end like you have at Alaska Christian College. I pray, Lord, for the students that are just waking up today and headed off hopefully to church and have an opportunity, Lord, to be touched by you today in that little village of Soldotna, Alaska. Give you thanks, Lord, for New City and for what you have for them and all the crazy adventures that are in front of them as well. May your name be glorified in this place, that they could use the capital L and the capital G and know them personally for your glory. In Christ's name I pray, amen.